You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking about engaging parents in the child-centered play therapy process. And we're actually going to be on this for several weeks because this is something that we can't neglect. It's something that we can't ignore. And it definitely influences the outcomes, not necessarily the clinical outcomes, but it definitely influences the overall outcomes. So we have to be pretty careful about how we do it and making sure that we're intentional and we're thinking through the best ways to have parents involved and engaged and aware of what's happening. So let me circle back ages and ages ago. So when I first started my practice in 06, I realized that it was tricky to have parents really understand and buy in and participate in the process. And if you know anything about the child-centered model, you know that if the parents are engaged and involved, statistically, the outcomes are better. So I'm kind of feeling like I'm fighting this battle where I'm in this new private practice and things are really working in the playroom. And then I feel like parents are just not really getting it. They're not supportive. They're not really understanding. They're not really bought in. And it's easy to put the blame on parents for that. But I quickly realized that if I was going to assess ownership, it needed to be mine. So ages ago, I mean, almost 20 years ago now, Risa Van Fleet had a program, and I don't know if she still does, but at the time it was on a VHS tape, if that gives you any indication of how long ago it was. Some of you were like, what's a VHS tape? Anyway, look it up. So I actually bought her Engaging Resistant Parents in Child-Centered Play Therapy program, and it had a VHS tape and a workbook. And so even all those years ago, I instinctively understood the power of parents and making sure that we do what we can to help them involve themselves in the process. So way back in the day, Risa Van Fleet's program actually kind of was the start of me thinking about this. And ever since then, I've been tweaking that and really trying to hone in on what works and what's effective and really communicating with parents in the best way, because it's not just the clinical piece of it, it's the communication piece as well. So I have three thoughts and we'll kind of dive into those together. So the first is, I want to make it clear, does a child heal and grow and work through their issues and overcome their struggles? And do we see positive outcomes and gains whether the parents are engaged and invested or not? Yes. So let's be really clear. I don't want it to be confused that if parents don't buy in, then the kid isn't going to have any progress. That's not true. So let's liken this to a different kind of scenario. So what about the child who lives in a traumatic or chaotic or dysfunctional or toxic kind of family environment? Or at least one of their environments is that way. In other words, maybe at mom's house, it's not that way, but at dad's house, it is. But the kid splits his time 50-50, right? So there's always the question of, right, but if I can't pull my kid out of that environment, if I can't protect my kid from that environment, if that kid is always going to be in that dysfunctional kind of relationship, you know, is this really going to help? And the answer is always yes, because we can't change the environment necessarily, but we can absolutely change the child's coping and their resilience and their acceptance of their own problem solving and their own capabilities and have confidence and trust in themselves that they can handle whatever situation they find themselves in. So we don't have to have parental buy-in and commitment and ownership in the process for gains to be seen. So that is not a prerequisite. So if you have a very resistant parent, if you have a very disengaged parent, if you have parents that really just drop their kid off and leave and they don't have any desire to be involved whatsoever, I don't want that to be defeating to you, because the child-centered model still works in spite of that, right? However, do we know that statistically speaking, if parents are involved, that the gains are better? Yes. So then it does become important for us to do our best. We have no control over parents and what they choose to do or not to do. But we do have control over what we choose to do as part of our process and as part of what we do to engage and to equip and to educate and all of those things. So we can control what we can control. And the way that we do that is we make sure that we have systems in place that allow for us to do our best to engage them as we have meetings with them. So now you're saying, okay, great, Brenna. So what are these meetings and what do these look like? Glad you asked. So when we have our first initial parent consultation meeting, our jobs as we sit down with these parents are to help them understand what the process looks like, what progress will look like, and to normalize what has been happening and what will happen in the future. I think those are the three most important pieces of meeting with a parent for the first time, because you're essentially wanting to eliminate the unknown, or at least vastly reduce it. We can't always eliminate the unknown necessarily, but we can vastly reduce it. So they need to know what to expect. And there's really no risk in over-communicating with parents. Now, the caveat being, if your over-communication is just jargon and clinical and everything you ever learned in grad school or everything that you've ever learned about the child-centered model, that's not communicating with parents. That's just boring them with things that they don't understand. But if you are helping them understand what the process will look like, and how do we do that? Stages, phases, and timeline. If you're helping them understand what progress looks like, this is how this will unfold. These are the themes that I anticipate your child bringing up in session. And then obviously, as the child does bring up themes, we share those with parents too, right? And then normalizing everything. Things might get worse before they get better. And you may see regression in behavior. And this isn't a linear process. This doesn't go up and right. So there's all of these things that we share with parents the very first time that we meet with them. We over-communicate because they're only going to retain some of what we communicate, right? And so we share as much as we can that is relevant, helpful, and important for them to know. We don't wow them with all of our knowledge and all of our graduate education and training. They don't care about that. How are you going to help their child? And what does the process of helping their child look like? If you focus on those things, you at least have initial buy-in to the degree that they understood what you shared. So if you feel like parents are not really bought into the process, that's probably a pretty good indicator that your communication is not effective. So when you meet with them for their first meeting, those are your goals. Then in follow-up meetings, so every time you meet with them subsequently to that initial meeting, which I advise every 5 sessions with the child, you have another parent consultation. Then your goal during that time to communicate with parents and get engagement is to use that time to not only give them updates about what's been happening therapeutically, and that is where you would share themes and observations from what's been happening in the play sessions, but you also want to make sure that you are educating them and you are equipping them and you're informing them and training them. What does that look like? What do they need to know? If they constantly complain about power struggles, you should be helping them understand the limit setting process. If you hear them constantly complain about how their child just always tries to have control over everything, you want to help them understand what choice giving looks like. If their kids are having tantrums and meltdowns all the time and they complain about it ad nauseum, then you need to help them understand what reflecting limits looks or reflecting feelings looks like. So your job in the subsequent parent consultations is to not only give them updates because they need to feel that positive things are happening in sessions for them to keep wanting to come, but then it's also to help them know what they can be doing at home that will not only give them tools and skills to use, which will make things easier for them as a parent, but you're also teaching them to use the same language and the same tools and skills that support the work that you're doing in the play session. So it's a win-win the more that you can educate and equip them with child-centered play therapy knowledge and skills. So as you are thinking about the process of engaging parents, and we're going to spend several weeks on this in a lot of different capacities, it's really important to keep in mind you are the single most important factor in how much parents buy in. If you are articulate and you communicate and you educate and you inform and you equip and you do it in a way that's digestible and you do it in a way that parents will receive well and understand easily, you have a much greater likelihood of them really being bought in. But it's about them understanding the process. It's about them understanding progress. It's about them understanding that things are normal. And then it's giving them tools to use at home. So those are very powerful channels through which you can ensure, at least from your end, that parents are going to be as bought in as possible. Now, will you do all of those things flawlessly and execute them all and then still have parents that just don't seem to engage? Yes. And there's just not a whole lot you can do in that case. But there are things that you can be doing to ensure that as much as possible, you will have buy-in and parents will be invested in the process, which again, it leads to better outcomes statistically for the child. And that's one of the things that we share with parents at the center. We know data shows that the more invested and involved you are, the better the outcomes that we'll get. So please buy in. Here's how you do that. Here's what that looks like. Here's how we're going to help you. And you can't really over-explain and over-communicate. They really do want to know, even though they won't fully grasp it, but they really do want to know what their role is and how to help and what you expect from them and what they can expect. Unknowns are always tricky. So the more we can eliminate the unknowns for them, the better. So I hope that is helpful. I hope that gives you some food for thought to think about. And exciting update. Many of you have emailed me and given me questions for the podcast. So thank you so much for doing that. I have a new method for you to reach out. So you can still email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. If you would like to call, we now have a number that you can call, and we're working on an international number. So if you are out of the States, I'm sorry, I only have a States number at the moment. We're working on an international one. So if you are out of the country, you will need to email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. But if you live in the States and you want to leave a question on my call-in number, you can do that now. So the number is 813-812-5525. 813-812-5525. And you can leave your question on the message and I can get your questions that way too. So if you're in the car or you're driving or you're with your phone and it's easier to call and leave a voicemail for me with a question, you have a new opportunity to do so. 813-812-5525. And really quickly, shout out to Ireland. I've had so many people reaching out from Ireland lately, so I don't know if there's this huge wave of child-centered play therapy taking over the small little country of Ireland over there, but thank you for being a part of the podcast and all of my Irish listeners. I'm so happy to have you, so thank you for reaching out. Actually, this morning, right before I did this podcast episode, someone emailed me from Israel, which I love it when I know that there are child-centered play therapists practicing all over the world. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for being a part of this podcast family. And we are just really, really excited about what's happening in the child-centered space. And so you all are a big reason that the wave is taking over. So really excited. Thanks always for sharing some time with me this week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.